You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right now?
Sure is.
Nice.
Cool. Today we're going to be talking about the sixth serial of the 13th season of Doctor Who, the final serial of this season, The Seeds of Doom, which consists of six episodes that aired from January 31st, 1976 to March 6th, 1976.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Steve Conway for getting this DVD for us.
Thanks, Steve. It's always like a nice surprise because we're always like, did you order something? Did I order something? Wait a minute.
We got a gift, a
it's
surprise.
It's a DVD. It's like a tiny Christmas.
You can follow him on Twitter at Steve Conway. And today joining us, we have new special guest,
ooh,
Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
Thanks for being on the show, sir.
Thanks for the invite. I love what you guys are doing over here. I'm glad to participate in this endeavor.
So, for those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a writer and creator, publisher, and a fellow podcaster. Of course, I am on the Earth Station One weekly podcast with director Mike Faber. And we also do a second podcast called Earth Station Who, and we've been doing that for, oh my goodness, I can't even remember now. I think it's been over 5 years. We podcast a lot.
And we always ask new guests, how much Doctor Who have you seen, experienced, read, etc.?
Quite a bit, actually. I started in the 70s. I am a child of the 70s. And I distinctly remember the Fourth Doctor, Tom Baker. He is my doctor. Probably always will be. And not to say that I'm throwing shade on any of the others, because I actually love all of them to certain degrees, but Tom is my guy. Yeah, I remember distinctly watching some of these adventures back then, but growing up and going to college and whatnot, life got in the way. Doctor Who was not around, so I got out of Doctor Who. I wasn't that much into it. I liked the concept, but I didn't really watch any of the stories, read, or listen to the big finishes or anything like that until Mike asked if I would participate in a podcast with him, and I thought it would be a great way to be introduced to Doctor Who all over again, and because I really liked the new series. I was hooked on the new series, and I wanted to go back and watch the classics, and I knew I never would do that unless I had a pretty good excuse, and getting a podcast together was enough for me. So since then, I've watched a ton. I'm pretty familiar with every incarnation of the Doctor now. I read the comics. I'm not as keen on the books. I haven't read a lot of those. But I've listened to a fair amount of Big Finish as well. So, and I love it all. I mean, obviously, there's a dud here and there, but it's all good.
Cool. I'm waiting for the day where we go from being like newbies to like, oh, we're experts now, because we've literally watched the whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there's different qualifications, what some people would consider experts, but I certainly think what you guys are doing, I mean, like, you're as much of an expert as anybody, you know, right?
Yeah, we got a good handle on at least the first three Doctors.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think it's really cool to go back and watch those. I mean, there's some really good stuff. The thing that really struck me, because I had never seen the very first episode, you know, the very first incarnation of the Doctor. I hadn't seen that until I started doing the podcast. And that was the first thing I think we tackled. And I was amazed at how much of the current Doctor is still in that first Doctor story. It's really quite a testament to over 50 plus years it being consistent.
It starts off just so weird, and it doesn't stop.
It really is unlike anything else.
It's such a good show. I'm glad we do a podcast about it.
Me too.
Just a quick question for my own interest. Have you watched any of the, like, missing episodes, like reconstructions and stuff like that?
Yes, we have tackled some of the reconstructions as well as the, you know, the ones that they animated to put together. And we've even done a couple of reviews of episodes where there's no video, there's no reconstruction at all. We just listen to the audio of it.
There's some good ones in there, but... the Mythmakers is the best. But also, it's so hard.
Some of them, I remember distinctly, I can't remember which one it was, but it was a very early, I think it was a First Doctor episode story, and we only had the audio for it, and we listened to it, and it wasn't bad. It was like listening to a Big Finish. At one point, I think when we reviewed it, I said, you know, I'm almost glad we're listening to this instead of watching it. Because if we were watching it, we would see all the dated effects and, you know, some of the poor quality sometimes that over the years, it happens. And it was almost better using your imagination than it would be to actually watch the episode.
Can make it as high budget as you want in your head.
Exactly. Actually, you know what? I think that was the one with the Daleks that they recently animated. And I remember watching the animation recently, and I was like, yeah, that's not how I pictured it in my head.
It's not as good.
Yeah, not as cool.
All right. You ready to talk about the first episode?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about the Seeds of Doom.
Seeds of Doom.
All right, so first episode. Episode one, which I have titled... The 20,000-year-old vegetable.
Yeah, we're in Antarctica.
And we see some researchers, scientific dudes, digging stuff out of the snow. Because we got the DVD now. I've watched all of the special features. Apparently that was just like a sand pit that they just covered in fake snow.
Really?
Yep. And you can actually see some of it in some of the scenes. There's like black peeking out from beneath. But
yeah, it looks really good in the first episode. The second story, it really doesn't look... It looks like a painted gravel pit.
It's probably just... Yeah, they got... There was a whole bunch to begin with, and then it all got smushed around. Yeah, just relay it. That's what you need to do.
So they uncover this weird-looking vegetable.
It's a little pod. And they say that it's probably 20,000 years old.
I really like all of the characters here. Like, they're just having a very good time. They're all having so much fun with each other and, like messing with each other and stuff. And I'm like, I like this. I want to hang out with these people.
Too bad they're going to die.
All of them.
Doctor Who does a really good job with that. Here's some really secondary characters that are, you know, that will move the plot along. But yeah, don't get comfortable with them.
But I always enjoy those, like, small moments of people just sort of hanging out where I'm like, this is fine. I can watch this for a little bit before everything starts to go completely haywire.
And it doesn't take too long either.
No, this serial happens very quickly, a lot.
Yeah, it's basically two serials.
Yeah, kind of. I remember, because this is a six-parter, right?
Yes, this is a six-parter.
I remember being, like, into, like, the second or third episode, and I was like, we are way farther along in, like, your average plot than we would be in a six-parter. What's happening? Where are we going to go? And we went interesting places.
Yeah. But yeah, one of the guys, I don't remember any of their names, because they all die pretty quickly. Guy with beard.
Yes.
I'm going to call him Ian, too.
Because he declares something alive?
Yes.
It's a plant! Of course it's alive! I mean, I guess they mean, like, not dormant. It's, like, actually still alive, which is impressive. It's really old. But also, you did find it in the snow, just saying.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that. Everyone knows if you're alive and in the snow, you can secretly still be, like, reanimated.
Yeah, like, you know, you're Captain America.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody, except maybe the writers, had ever seen Thing from Another World. Because they would have definitely, like, not tried to make this pod come to life if that was the case.
Yeah, and the DVD, the writer kept saying that people were thinking he was pulling from, Day of the Triffids.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
No one once mentioned the Thing from Another World. Like... But that seems more like what they're pulling from.
Actually, it really reminds me more of John Carpenter's The Thing, which, of course, is not filmed yet. So who knows? Maybe John Carpenter pulled from this a little bit.
I actually haven't seen either of the things. Either of the things. I need to.
Yeah, they're pretty good stuff. And yeah, you'll see that there's an episode of X-Files that really reminds me of it as well. And actually anything that takes place in an Arctic or Antarctic, in this case, environment kind of just harkens back to that. Because they're so, they're classics, you know.
It's a good place to freeze really old evil things. But then we get to see the doctor.
It's just him in this scene, which I thought was kind of weird.
Yeah, where's Sarah Jane?
Yeah, I don't know if they would have fit in that room. That was a small office.
He's talking to, I believe this character's name is Dunbar. He has a bit of an arc. He almost, he delayed this serial a little bit, filming-wise. Because he was cast to be Dunbar. Then he looked at himself like a few days later before they were supposed to start filming. And he's like, oh no, I think I have got my child's chicken pox. And so called the BBC and is like, I'm probably going to need to like take a couple of days, just a couple days to get over this. They're like, okay, we'll push the filming back a couple of days, and then hung up. And then his doctor showed up at his house. Like, I just got a call from the BBC. I'm going to give you, like, an official examination. And I was like, yeah, you would definitely have chicken pox, and you're not taking off a couple days. You're going to take off a week. So they pushed filming back even further. But I think they'd already, like, pre-filmed a lot of stuff, so it didn't, like, affect it too much. But they did have to film a little bit later than they were meaning to. And when he came back to set, all of the actors were actually happy with him because they had to renegotiate all their contracts and stuff, and they all got paid more.
That works out. I'm surprised. They must have filmed some material with him before that, because otherwise, why didn't they just recast somebody? It's not like they don't have a bunch of other English dudes on the island.
I mean, he's not even that, like, prominent of a character. I mean, he's, like, third tier, I'd say. But, hey, he got everybody more money, so
nice.
Kudos to him. But he is showing the doctor... He's informing the doctor about this pod. The doctor's going to go check it out, and he's very prepared because he has his toothbrush.
He is very focused. The doctor is very focused and very driven and angry in this first episode. He shades of the first doctor, really. He's not really in the mood for nonsense. The toothbrush is one bit of levity we have, but once he sort of confirms what the pod is... I mean, he's got no time for nonsense.
Yeah, he's just, like, ready to leave. And the guy's like, "What? Wait, are you leaving right now?" And he's like, yeah, why wait?
What's the rush? He's like, only the destruction of this Earth.
And he's really, really afraid that people are going to touch it, which is fair because they do.
Ah, humans.
Because Beard Guy is studying the vegetable, the pod, and it is growing bigger. And that's... probably not a good thing.
I like the fact that the lab doesn't have any sort of contamination. Like, they don't have it encased in glass. They don't... nothing. It's just out in the open. The same room that I think the communicator's in and all that. Just this open area.
Scientists.
Well, to be fair, I doubt they ever expected to find something like this.
But they've also been informed that the doctor's coming and, like, they're being, like, real sketchy about it. Like, well, we need to study it before he gets here and stops us. Dunbar goes to meet this other guy, who, as soon as he is revealed, I was like, well, that's our villain. He just turns around with gloves on and just, he's just instantly menacing and the villain.
He's really delightful. Like, stupidly hammy, but in a way that's still kind of dangerous. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's... that's what he is.
He's Bond villain material.
The stuff he gets, the dialogue he gets, and the stuff he has to do, it could have been very easily really cheesy.
Yeah.
But he pulls it off in, like, a very creepy way. And he doesn't like bonsai trees.
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
He thinks they are an abomination.
He's all about plants, protecting plants, and making sure they have a good time. That's who he is.
He, you know, we kept seeing him in those gloves so often, I thought, is he a plant? Like, I just thought there was going to be some reveal at some point, but nope.
He's just like that.
Yeah, he just doesn't like touching things.
In the script, he did not have gloves. That was something that the director added, because he likes villains in gloves. Apparently he did it all the time.
Solid choice. I yeah. support this.
If only the scientists in Antarctica had been wearing gloves when they were looking at the pod, examining the pod.
But yeah, he also has this line about, like, he hates hybrids, and it just made me think of Peter Capaldi and that whole plot.
Oh, yeah. That happened. I'm still confused by that. It mostly makes sense.
But Dunbar also shows this villain, whose name is Chase, Harrison Chase. He shows him pictures of the pod and is like, I'm going to sell it to you, basically. And he's being kind of sneaky about it. The Chase is like, okay, cool. And then, but sends his lackey, who's named Scorby.
Which is a great name.
When we were watching it, Chris Cherry just said, Scorby Dooby Doo.
No, he said Scorby Dorby Doo. Yes.
It's not exactly as intimidating as his mercenary persona displays, but yeah, it works. And if there's one name that you learn in this sixth episode, it's Scorby.
Because it's a good name. That's a good name. He looks a bit like Tom Green to me, though. So that takes his menace out a little bit for me.
That adds to it for me.
That's fair. But apparently, I was watching the DVD, and the apparently the director would cast him a lot as sort of more menacing characters. And he was always like, I don't know why he cast me as bad guys all the time. I think I'm kind of a fun guy. I'm a little bit of a comedian. Why does he keep casting me as evil people? But he does a good job. He's good. I like Scorby.
He's on Scorby and also a scientist.
Yeah, a scientist.
To confirm that it's important and not just, I don't know, paper mache.
His name is Keeler. But yes, the pod opens up and attacks one of the, or doesn't really attack, just touches one of the scientists, whose name is Charles. I don't remember which one Charles is, but he falls down and immediately gets the green death.
So this is what it looks like, very similar.
Yeah, he's just covered in moss, basically. The actual suits, like when they go full on veggie eventually, but they are just Axon suits from the Claws of Axos that are painted green.
Nice
reuse.
Economical. Though I think there are some scenes where you can still, like, the paint didn't fully cover and you can still see some of the, like, brownish red. So the Doctor and Sarah Jane show up at the Antarctica base. The one guy is like, I was expecting someone older. And the Doctor is like, I'm only 749. Which I think this is the second time he's said that. So I think that's his canon age.
All right.
Or do you think he's just skewing a little bit younger?
I don't believe anything the Doctor says about anything most of the time.
Especially about himself.
I also imagine it must be hard to keep track of how old you are when you travel through time a lot.
Like, also, I have, like, a hard time now. So, like, getting past, like, the first 100, who even cares?
But I imagine it's hard to keep track of your own internal clock, unless he has some means of tracking that, which is possible. Sarah Jane is very cold and sticks her fingers in her mouth. She sticks her fingers in her mouth a lot on this show.
I mean, this is only the second time.
That's still twice.
I think she sells the cold better than anybody else, though. Everybody else is just kind of walking around, and she really looks like she's freezing.
It's true. And she's got the greatest coat on.
Oh my god, it's amazing, that coat.
It's just a big old fur coat. She's styling. So they go and they check in on Charles, who is now full-on green furry.
Leafy.
Leafy, yes.
That's a thing.
They overhear that they were supposed to be sending a medical team, but they're not coming because of the storm. But then they do show up, but it's not actually the medical team. It's Scorpion Keeler.
Well, Scorpion Keeler don't even say, like, I thought they were going to try to pull themselves off as the medical team, but they don't. They're just like, oh, our plane got lost. We're just looking for something else. So, they don't even try it. They just go in and go, nope, we're just on our way somewhere.
We're just passing through.
We're just as you do in Antarctica.
They are pretty, like, bad at this whole being sneaky business.
Yeah, they're an interesting couple. There's some dynamic there that's very strange.
But before they show up, the Doctor goes digging himself, because he's like, these pods always come in pairs. Because they do it, he examines the pod and it's empty. And he's like, that's bad. And gets on to Beard Guy for, like, heating it up, because he's like, that's what, you defrosted it, and now you've unleashed evil. But he goes and digs up. So actually, it's almost kind of the Doctor's bad. Like, why did he dig up the other one? Why didn't he just
leave it alone? I remember thinking that, where I was like, it's frozen, though. I guess anything could technically happen to it. You want to put it in like a stable environment.
Yeah. I guess he also wanted to examine it to sort of maybe figure out a cure for Charles.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But still.
He doesn't really try that at all, though.
Yeah, that's true.
He doesn't really try to save him.
The most he does is he looks at Charles's blood and goes, hey, look, it's plant stuff.
It's full of plants.
The most he does is he says, we can cut off your arm. That's an option. Maybe that'll help. I don't think so, but if we're just looking for something to do.
Like, his reasoning behind that is that that's where he got attacked. That's where the plant got him, was on the arm. But it spread so much further than his arm by now.
At this point, it's like, yeah, I don't really think that's going to make a difference.
It's up to his eyeballs. And he's going to make one of the other guys do it. He's not going to do it.
No, he's like, I'm not that kind of doctor.
Well, and the person he's going to make do it is just, what is he, like a zoologist?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not a medical doctor either.
He's like, yeah, but you've done things with animals. It's same difference.
Doctor is in full rocket mode here. I need that guy's arm.
They finally talk him into it, and he's going to go get set up and get everything together. While he's doing that, Charles sits up once the room's empty, and then goes and kills the zoologist, attacks him.
Yeah, he doesn't want to lose his arm.
And they said, that might be fair.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, you declared war on me. I was just laying here minding my own business.
And that is the cliffhanger for the first episode. Again, it's moved so fast. We're like already through so much plot. And we're now into episode 2, which I've just called Pod People.
Now, with episode 1, are you fully invested? Are you like, this is pretty cool? Are you like, eh? I mean, how do you feel after the first chapter?
I'm down for it. I'm into it.
Yeah, I remember being like surprised at how fast it was moving. One, because like normally when we like introduce a new monster, it's like we're gonna take 3 episodes to actually introduce it sometimes,
especially with a 6-parter.
Yeah, and I like all the side characters who are about to die, so at this point I'm having fun.
It's got a really good, its tone is really good, mysterious, and but also like there's enough levity in it so that it's not too overwhelming.
And they sort of, you know, foreshadow that this is not just going to be a little adventure up in the Antarctic, because they spend so much time with Dunbar and Chase. You're thinking they're going to come back and this is going to be pretty epic.
I kind of thought that the whole serial was going to take place in Antarctica, and then like maybe, well, maybe not Dunbar, but Chase would
like come back in come. At the end.
Yeah, he would be the guy that shows up in like episode 4 and like throws a wrench in everybody's plans, sort of deal. Like, that happens a lot in these sort of serials. Like, there's always, like, the examiner who shows up to, like, look at stuff and make sure everything's going okay. And I figured Chase would sort of fill that role. But that doesn't happen.
It gets so much weirder than this, you guys.
And no TARDIS. I was wondering why the Doctor and Sarah Jane did not use the TARDIS to get to Antarctica. Especially since the Doctor seemed to be in a rush. And the weather conditions seem to be bad. But, nope, I think story-wise, they couldn't do that because it would have been too easy to escape.
Also, now that you say that, that sort of causes a plot problem in the very final scene of the last episode.
When they're like, we're here again.
Yeah, you're like, you didn't change the coordinates, but you never used the TARDIS to get there in the first place.
Right.
Interesting.
Timey-wimey. They'd been there before. They just, you know.
It was a separate adventure.
Well, even they say at the end, and you know, we're skipping to the end, but it's a great fun at the end. So they kind of laugh about it at the end.
Oh, they're so cute.
They really are.
I've said before, but I'll go ahead and say it again anyway. This is one of my favorite Doctor Companion dynamics.
This is my Doctor and Companion. Like, they're forever my favorites.
I don't know. They are tied, I think, for my favorite so far.
Is it Ian and Barbara? Because Ian and Barbara are also way up there.
Well, no, I like Ian and Barbara as Ian and Barbara. I mean, Ian and Barbara and the Doctor is fine. But, like, Ian and Barbara, I like. But, like, I really like 2 and Jamie.
Yes. That's a great dynamic as well.
So 2 and Jamie, 4 and Sarah.
It's the one where it's like they've been together for so long that like everything's just kind of like all the little things come very easy. That's very nice.
They play off of each other very well. Like they're like a couple. You know what I mean?
Well, he says later, she's my best friend.
I know. Like, made an audible sound at that, like a tiny little squee at that line.
Oh, so cute. They're buds.
They're best friends. friends, and I love them both.
Yeah, this is when they were in the days when there was no hanky-panky in the TARDIS. So that was as close as they could get.
I don't know. I think Ian and Barbara might have been up to some stuff. And then there was that time the Doctor got engaged with hot chocolate?
Yeah, the Aztecs.
Yeah. I love the Doctor just accidentally getting married. That's a...
Really? It happens to him more often than it really, really should.
I think it's just because he's so... I personally feel like he's completely oblivious to, like, romance stuff. So he just blunders into it accidentally all the time without realizing it. But yeah, let's see. So Scorby and Keeler are sort of like plotting and planning. Scorby is basically wanting to kill everybody and get the pod and get out of there. And Keeler is not super into that plan.
Keeler's like, I'm just a tiny soft plant scientist. Please let's not do anything mean.
Scorby and Chase are like kind of hardcore for like people who collect plants.
Yeah, I'm like wondering with Scorby, like, does Chase really need a guy like this on the payroll? I mean, how often does this kind of thing happen?
Yeah, it seems like this is it's a common occurrence to just be killing people like over plants. I didn't know that like horticulture was such a dangerous business.
It's a real cutthroat world.
It really is. We learn here that it is quite eye-opening.
But Keeler doesn't want to go along with it. And Scorby is like, well, if you don't go along with it, I'll kill you, too. I'll make sure the hole we bury everybody in is a little bit bigger. And it's like, man, you guys are intense. So Sarah Jane finds the dead body of the zoologist in a scene that made you laugh. She stumbles on his body and there's like all these like quick cut forward zoom ins.
I don't know, man. Quick jump cuts make me laugh.
It doesn't help that when it gets super close up on his face, his eyelids flutter a little bit. So she tells the doctor and everybody, and they figure that Charles, who's been recently plantified, has killed him and left. And that basically Charles is no more. He is more plant than man, and that they're going to have to stop him.
Yeah, at this point, there's no human face on him at all anymore.
Because there was a period there where you could at least see his eye. But it's, like, fully grown over now, too. So I like that there's stages to the costume. That's nice.
It feel like a real progression of some sort of...
Yeah, and this particular plant guy doesn't get too far, but, like, there'll be another plant guy, and he progresses even further.
Dunbar gets paid.
He gets paid and finds out that...
How intense the plant people are?
Yeah, that Chase is, like, you know... Sending a guy to go pick it up, and is killing people, and Dunbar's like, whoa, I was just selling you a plant. Like, it was gonna get here. Why are you going so crazy?
Why did this escalate so quickly?
Everybody, like, Team TARDIS and the scientific people are going, well, it's just the beard guy, right, at this point?
Yeah.
He's the only one left, because one's a plant and the other one's dead. They're going to go check out the generator shack because they feel like that he may be there for some reason.
That's like the only place that's warm.
That isn't where the people are at.
Yeah.
So they go check that out. And Scorby and Keeler take this opportunity to, since everybody's gone, to search for the pod. And Scorby just like is straight up trashing the place. If they come back, you have no like alibi or any... Like you can't just be like... I don't know.
I lost my glasses and I just...
Yeah. Like,
couldn't
I feel like
where I put him.
He's cutting off avenues of opportunity of lie potentials. You know what I mean?
I don't think he's worried about that. I think he's just, like, he's planning on killing them all anyway. So they're all, like, he's like, I'm not going to waste my time with them.
I'm startled by how much thought you've put into lies on this level.
I just think bad guys need to think things through more often if they want to be good bad guys. They just rush into things without thinking, and then they get beaten.
Just would like to see overall more planning from the villains, thanks.
Just some villain competency. That's what I want. Get it together, guys.
Anyway, they find the empty pod, and they decide that...
They're like, well, we need the plant. The pod's not going to be enough.
Yes.
Because... Chase wants the plant, not the pod.
They don't know there's a second one at this point. So they think that they've come up there for nothing. They're like, oh, the pod's open. Damn, now what?
Scorby's like, I'm going to kill them all anyway. I don't have anything to do.
Also, while they're trashing the place, a call comes in from the medical team. And I don't know why they just didn't answer it, just left it alone. But, like, Scorby does try to answer it and is terrible at it.
Worse than Han Solo.
Boring conversation anyway.
It's pretty much the same thing. We're fine here. Everything's fine. How are you?
Don't come. He got better. But yeah, it doesn't go very well, so he just unplugs the radio and like, just leave it alone. This is what they should have done in the first place. I guess he was trying to cancel the team, but it didn't work.
No. It just made him suspicious.
Yeah, but you're right. To your point, Scorby's not the best liar, because he just comes up, yeah, we don't need you. Like, we're good. Like, that's not going to convince anybody.
Turned out it's just a splinter. It's fine.
If he said something to the effect of, don't come up here because we're all infected and sick, then that would have definitely scared them away. But nope, he goes the other route.
Okay, so Scorby and Keeler find the dead zoologist and are like, what is going on? As the doctor and Sarah Jane come in. But Scorby pulls a gun on the doctor and tells, oh, this is the best part. He tells him, because the doctor's at the bed with the zoologist looking at him, and Scorby comes up behind him and pulls the gun on him and says, turn around. And the doctor does a complete 360.
The doctor looks so mildly annoyed at the inconvenience of having a gun pointed at him, too, where he's just like, this is going to slow me down. I don't have time for this.
It's a luxury you could have when you can regenerate.
And then Scorby's like, all right, start talking. And the doctor just starts talking about Mozart.
Perfect pitch.
And then he's like, what happened to him? Mozart? Oh, no, you mean the guy on the table. Oh, he's dead. I love the doctor just fucking with people. That's great. They sort of like fill Scorby and Keeler in on the whole plant situation. Scorby and Keeler tie up the doctor and Sarah Jane, and they continue to be like unhelpful, because he's like, where they basically start quoting nursery rhymes at him.
And I love how Sarah's like not intimidated either. They're just playing with this guy.
Yeah, because he starts quoting The House That Jack Built, and like she joins in at the end of it. So good. They're so good.
They've been through this exact situation so many times. They like, we know how this is going to go. I'm not even stressing.
Then Beard Guy should probably learn his name. I think it's Stevenson. He comes in. They quickly get his gun away from him because it's empty, and tie him up as well. And he accidentally gives away that there's a second pod.
Yep, Stevenson blows it.
Beard guy.
You can see on the doctor's face, it's all levity until that point. And then Stevenson mentions the second pod. And then you see the doctor's like, oh, crap.
So they're going to go find the second pod. Oh, first he like threatens everybody. Like, where is the pod? Where's the second pod? And he's like pointing guns at the doctor, then pointing at Stevenson, and then at Sarah Jane. And Sarah Jane's the one that works. So the doctor's like, all right, I'll tell you stuff. Because he doesn't want Sarah Jane to get hurt.
Because they're best friends.
Doesn't care about Stevenson at all, because that dude gave up the pod.
He got it coming.
They are going to go to the generator shack, basically blow it up, and it's going to destroy the whole base.
And then they fucking do that.
Guys. And then everybody dies. It's terrible.
It was so startling to me. I was like genuinely not expecting that. They just blow up the whole base. And I was like, hey! That's your whole model. You can't use that anymore.
It's quite awesome, actually. It's very, very good model blowing upness.
But everybody gets away, basically.
Yeah, it really threw me. Mm. Like when it was exploding, and I was like I said, I kept being like, "Where? What's happening next? I don't know, but I need to know." Play the next one. Play the next one.
But the doctor gets out of his bonds. Him and the beard guy get out of their bonds by like he's hopping, and he like bumps this lantern off a wall with his head, and they take the glass shards and cut their bonds with it.
That stressed me out, by the way.
Yeah,
I was like, ah, you're gonna cut your hands.
I think at some point he said, careful, don't cut an artery.
That would be so disappointing that you just do this dramatic escape and then accidentally cut yourself and bleed to death.
I'm free. Damn.
Keeler has a brief moment where he tries to stop Scorby from blowing up everything, but then he eventually caves because he's a...
He doesn't want to get dead either.
He's a bit of a pushover. They leave Sarah Jane tied up with the bomb. The doctor rushes to go save her, while Stevenson, beard guy, tries to call out to somebody, like, get help. But he gets attacked by Charles, the plant.
Yeah, I think we can call it a crinoid right now, right? We find out that that's what that is?
I think so. And then the crinoid runs back to the Generator Shack tries to stop the Doctor and Sarah Jane, but they get away by just running around the like in a circle and get out and lock them into the thing with the bomb. And then they run away. Keeler and Scorby fly off in a plane, and then the base explodes, presumably killing the crinoid. And everybody is dead except for Keeler, Scorby, the Doctor, and Sarah Jane.
Yes, who just are okay.
And yeah, at this point I was like, this is the end of a serial.
Yeah, normally they save those big explosions for the end.
Like, I thought we were going to spend the whole time in Antarctica, but like, there's not much to do now in Antarctica.
Yeah, we got places to be.
I think that was really smart to do, because it feels like there's a two-parter and a four-parter, and that helps it not feel so...
long.
Yeah, long, yeah. By breaking it into two different stories helps the pace a bit, I feel like.
Yeah. And it's also really shocking. That's not what I expected right here in part two, that we're already into the pyrotechnics. Nice.
And that's the end of episode two. We're now into episode three, which I have called The Green Cathedral. Oh, and there's this really beautiful shot of like it, because we get the recap of the base exploding, and then like it's all like sparks and blackness and smoke, and it fades to a shot of Sarah Jane lying in the snow. It's a very beautiful shot. I like it a lot. Like, because it, like, the flames and the fire fade to, like, snow falling in front of her face. So pretty. This serial has some, like, amazingly beautiful shots. This is the first of at least three that I can hang out with the top of my head that's just, I was just like, that is a great shot. But the medical team finally shows up and finds her, and then she runs off and tries to find the Doctor, and then they find the Doctor, and he's fine, too. And then everybody goes back to...
we're done with Antarctica.
They go back to Webb, the World Ecology Bureau. I don't know why they don't call it Webb more often, but I don't even think it's actually... I don't know, is that an actual bureau?
I have no idea.
I don't know if it's ever referenced again. But
I didn't even realize it was called Webb. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think they actually call it that. But they call it the World Ecology Bureau, so I'm like, that's... Yeah, I would watch a show about Webb. Agents of Webb.
They go and stop plant crimes.
Yeah, well, apparently it's a thing, so...
And it's really cutthroat, as already established.
It's sort of like, you know, the birth of Torchwood. After Seeds of Doom, they realize that they need to put more money and resources into... plant-based crime. So they form Web, Agents of Web, that it's quite serious stuff.
Oh, we need to pitch this to Big Finish.
Yep.
I was gonna say Scorby would be perfect to be the like top agent of Web, but unfortunately, yeah, that probably won't happen.
No, I know who it should be. It should be what's her name, Ducat?
Oh yeah. No, absolutely, that's who it is.
Yes.
Oh, we'll get to her in this episode.
I'm writing this.
Agent Ducat and the Agents of Webb. I like it. So Scorby brings the new pod to Chase and warns him, yo, don't touch it.
That's exactly how he says it.
He's like, it's okay, I have gloves.
He warns that somebody got, like, turned into, you know, a plant creature and it was bad, got an infection. And, like, he's like, he got an infection and, like, killed some people and then he died.
I like that he's basically like, it was real weird. Anyway, here's your pod.
Yeah, but he's like warning him, he's like, it killed, like, he got infected and he killed people. And, like, Chase is like, oh, that's sad. I could have had two pods. Like, you think he's going to be like, oh, no, people were murdered. But he doesn't care.
Not Chase, no.
And Dunbar shows up and is very like, what? Stuff exploded. Again, this is just a plant. And also says, like, you killed a bunch of people. I don't care for that. But also tells him, you didn't kill the Doctor and Sarah Jane.
Like, heads up, they're still probably there. On their way.
Yeah, Dunbar's pretty freaked out, but Chase is, you know... I mean, Chase realizes he works with plants. When you work with plants, you gotta get your hands dirty.
That's the tagline for Agents of Web.
I want this so much, you guys.
Me too.
I'm gonna write a pilot.
Agents of Web, we're adding that. Agents of Web and Family Unit. Those are now our spinoffs.
Oh, they should do crossovers all the time.
Yes.
So the Doctor sort of fills in Web about what's going on and thinks that there must be a mole in Web, which it's Dunbar. He's like, basically takes control of the whole operation, and he's going to go check out. I don't know where he plans to go, because he doesn't know about Chase at this point. So I don't remember where he was going to go, but he leaves the building, him and Sarah Jane, and gets picked up by, they're like, this is your car, sir. And he's like, cool, take us to wherever it was we were going that I don't remember. But it turns
out, I think they were going to Chase's.
No, because they don't know about Chase yet, because they find that out later.
Oh, you're right. I honestly don't know. I'm sorry.
We're going to go check out all the plant shops in town.
Okay, but this is my favorite thing, though. So, like, the guy gets out of the car and is like, all right, I've driven to the middle of nowhere and I'm here to shoot you. And then they get out of that, and that's fine, it's whatever. But in order to search for clues, they pop open the trunk and there's just a painting? And that's...
You're gonna skip over the entire fight scene? Because yeah, it was great!
It's not as important to me as the painting. Go ahead.
Like, he punches a dude through... He, like, hits a dude with a car door through the window. And then, like, they run into a quarry, which is, like, the doctor's turf.
Fair enough.
They lure him in there and he like leaps onto him off of this like, I don't know, silo thing, and then like punches him in the face. This is like a real John Pertwee serial. He's very James Bond, like action hero in this one.
He's a little intense in this one. So yeah, that all happens. And then the important thing happens, which is they pop open the trunk and there's a painting of a flower, and Sarah Jane is like, this is by a very famous artist. That's a lead.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's like, if he had had a portrait by Norman Rockwell, would they have gone to seek Norman Rockwell out? Yeah, I don't... Yeah, it's very strange. This episode, I think, is the clunkiest, because it has to move forward, and it doesn't really make sense. I don't even think... The fight's cool, as you mentioned, but it doesn't make sense. I mean, once he disarms him at the car... They should just tie him up or do something with him. Instead, they run away and then overcome him. And I'm like, you already overcame him once.
I love That's it fair. So much. Like, the turn that it takes when they track down this artist and then are just, like, sitting in her, like, house having tea and, like, listening to her ramble on is like, all right.
And she's like this 60, 70-year-old lady.
She's great. She's awesome.
She's amazing. The, like, tangent that we went on there from, like, being killed to, like, well, we found this painting and now we're sitting here and this old lady's house is, like, great. Fantastic. I'm so glad we're here.
My favorite part is that, like, do you know, like, she's painting a flower when they get there. She's, like, talking about that painting. And they're like, well, we have this painting that we found. And we're like... Like, do you know who bought this painting? And she, like, looks at the painting she's painting. She's like, no, I haven't finished painting it yet. No, not that painting.
And the BBC does such a good job of set design and all that, because you just know that room is, like, 90 degrees. They're just all sitting there going, standing there going, oh, man, it's hot in here. And we're just listening to her ramble. And, oh, my goodness, this is just not moving the plot along. We just have to get out of here.
It smells like mothballs. There's hard candies everywhere. Not even the good kind.
It looks great. It's like the warmest. We've been two episodes of, like, freezing cold. And now we're stuck in this really warm house.
This old lady.
But, by the way, you mentioned her name, and I don't remember
Ducat.
It. Yes, thank you.
And the doctor keeps calling her Ducat. Like, calls her Ducat twice.
The doctor calls her Ducat. You'd think he'd be more sensitive than that, but no.
They're like, do you know who bought this painting? And they're like, she's like, it's not your painting? And they're like, no, we found it in a trunk.
Yeah, I know. We can't believe it either.
Why was it in a trunk? That is not where art goes.
Which is a fair question. Why was it in the trunk?
Why was it in your random lackey's trunk?
Yeah, because we find out later Chase bought it like months ago.
And never... paid for it. What a jerk.
He's willing to shell out all this money on plants, but pictures of plants, he apparently stiffs the people.
To be fair to Chase on this point, he might not think he ever received it because it was still in the trunk. Like, the chauffeur probably just forgot about it and like was like, oh yeah, I need to give you your painting, but never did.
So she says that it was bought by Chase and he never paid. So they're like, well, we're gonna go hunt down this Chase person. They do that by the doctor dressing up like the chauffeur. I guess they took his clothes off.
As you do.
At least his hat.
No, and his coat.
I would take his hat.
Cool. Yeah, it's a cool hat. So they go to Chase's. The doctor is the chauffeur now. Tony loses it over the fact that the gate has a smaller door inside of its larger doors.
Because it was really funny. He opens the smaller door. It's inside a larger door. That's great. That's, like, peak comedy, Joseph.
The smaller door is for people. The larger door is for cars. That's how it works.
I understand its function. Visually, it's hilarious.
Okay. So they pull in and they park and you're going to sneak around to the back. But they get caught by guards who shoot Uzis at them. Why do they have such big guns?
You make it sound like they have guns that shoot out Uzis.
Yeah. Then...
I don't know why my brain interpreted it that way just now, but it did.
In any case, they still can't hit them.
No.
That's a requirement of guards in all fictional media.
It is, absolutely. Bad shots.
And they are stopped by Scorby and brought to Chase. And that's the scene where the doctor calls Sarah Jane his best friend and then starts introducing everyone else as well. This is Scorby. I don't know his first name. Or if that, maybe that's his last name, first name. I don't know. He's just Scorby. And I don't know these two guys. They're just guards.
We are well acquainted.
I think that's great. I love him so much. Chase is like, interrupts him and is like,
I know who they are.
Yeah. And I'm going to execute you. And the doctor's like, yeah, that makes sense. But Chase is like, but before I kill you, you're going to get to look at some plants. So that'll be nice.
That is the worst. There's no worse villain that's like, I got an info dump before I kill you.
I got to give you the tour of my mansion and all my greenhouse and everything. It's going to be awesome. This is your torture. This is the way I torture people.
Come on, just murder me already. I don't care about your plans.
I mean, even the doctor says it. When they finally reach the lab, he's like, I hate guided tours.
Oh, and then we get taken to the Green Cathedral, where Chase plays some really annoyingly loud synth music.
This is like peak supervillain monologuing bullshit. Where you're just like, please, 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 please just murder me.
He's like, not only am I an evil mastermind, but I am also a fantastic DJ.
For plants.
Because plants like music. Yeah. That's true.
I am the phantom of the greenhouse.
He's like, I could play all day in my green cathedral. He's so dramatic. It's
he
great.
Probably would, too, except he gets, like, called away. He would have stayed there and probably, like, played for, like, 2 days and been like, I really am going to kill you guys in, like, just a minute.
Slowly. This is how slowly it's going to happen. It's just, you're just going to listen to this, to these tones over and over again.
But he gets interrupted because Keeler wants to talk to him about the pod.
Because they're warming it up like dumbasses.
They keep injecting it with, does he keep saying nitrogen?
Yes.
Is that, like, really a thing that you could, like, I thought, that doesn't sound healthy to plants, is it? Am I wrong?
I think that it is.
Okay. I'm not a plant guy.
Or, like, nitrogen-enriched soil is a thing?
I am not a person who knows anything.
I was going to say, I have heard that phrase. I don't actually know anything. But my brain's like, that tracks.
Definitely going to have to learn more if we're going to write Agents of Web.
Going to have to learn all about them plants. I just, in my head, all I hear is, I did a science to it, and it's not working.
Just do it. Inject more.
Do more science.
Which is weird. This pod's really stubborn, because the one in Antarctica popped open, like, within a day. This one just seems not to really want to do that.
It's shy.
Well, it saw what happened to its brother.
Did it? It was on a plane at that point.
It probably saw from the plane window.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It had plant senses.
Sure, they cut a window in the cooler.
Plants are like that.
Yeah, there's like a psychic bond.
Ah, yes. Well, actually, you're not wrong there. We do find out later they do have a psychic bond, not only with each other, but with all plant life.
So, Scorby leads off the Doctor and Sarah Jane to be executed somewhere through the gardens. And then the weirdest thing in this entire serial happens. The doctor, like, gets away from Scorby and is, like, ducking and diving away from him. The doctor kicks the gun out of his hand. Like, Sarah Jane grabs him.
And
then the doctor grabs Scorby's head and breaks his neck?
Yeah, it looks like he twisted his neck. I thought the same thing. I'm like, wow.
Like, there is an audible, like, neck snapping sound.
Yes.
And drops him and runs. I was like, whoa! The doctor just straight up murdered a dude with his bare hands.
Scorby gets up and walks away.
Like, oh, my neck's a little sore.
Yes.
That's like, oh, that helped a lot. Thank you, doctor. I got that kink right out of there. Thank you.
In any other thing, that person would be dead.
Yeah. Yeah,
that visual was striking. I did notice that, too. I was like, oh, he just... Oh, yeah. I'm like, because I'm like... I forgot for a second. I thought, Scorpion doesn't die here. But yet, he looks dead.
Yeah, I think Chris Jerry, who's watching with us, was like, oh, the scene is about to happen. And then when Scorby got back up, he's like, I honestly forgot that he wasn't. Like, I thought he was dead. I've seen this before and was just like, nope, the doctor straight up murders a guy and it's weird.
It would be weird if he just straight up murdered a guy by breaking his neck. So I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah. I don't know that it's quite murder. I mean, you could argue self-defense here. Let's be real. So, I mean, Scorby's not like, you know, he's not Keeler.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not a great guy.
And he did have a gun on him for most of this story. So, and he threatened Sarah Jane many times. He's got it coming.
He gets up. He's fine. He makes the guard. Like, he runs up to the guards and the guards just stand there looking at him for a second. And he's like, spread out, you idiots.
Because they're like, holy shit, he's alive. What kind of immortal nightmare is he?
Oh, he's been like taking some like really... experimental like plant juice.
Yes.
And now he's got like really good immune system and everything.
It's like Popeye with spinach. I get it.
Then the doctor and Sarah Jane are up on this bridge and he lowers her off the bridge with a rope, which doesn't really do much because she immediately gets caught by some guards. The doctor sneaks back inside and makes his way to the roof where he's peeking in, and he sees that Scorby brings Sarah Jane to Chase and Keeler. Chase is, like, grabs Sarah Jane's arm and like sticks it right next to the pod and is like, I want to see what happens. Keeler's like, well, I can't do that. And Chase is like, watch me. And the pod starts to open, and that is the cliffhanger.
What drives me insane about this is that Chase knows. It's not like, oh, I'm a scientist and I want to know what's happening and oh my god, it turns out there are unexpected consequences. He knows what all the consequences are. He just doesn't care. He's had all the prior warning in the world and is just like, but I really love plants, you guys.
And that's the end of episode 3. We're now into episode 4, which I've called the recycling experiment.
We're at the halfway point now.
Woo! Then the doctor does a really cool stunt. Like, this is all him, too. Like, they didn't have a stunt person do this. He dives through the glass ceiling. It's a plant house type of deal.
Yes, and he jumps through. My favorite thing about that, though, besides just that it looks cool for somebody to jump through a glass and it's neat, Every single time after that somebody walks through that room, it's just crunch, 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 crunch.
It really is.
The way they filmed it, like, he's really just jumping, like, a very small distance, and then they cut to inside and he's landing on a mattress. But it's like, it's all him. It's all good.
Looks great.
Yeah. And he, like, punches Scorby, knocks him into, like, a
fireplace.
And then the best line ever happens, because Chase is like, what do you do for an encore, doctor? And the doctor goes, I win. Grabs Sarah Jane and runs.
But not the pod. He still got the pod. That's not winning.
But I wouldn't want to grab that and accidentally get...
No. Well, I mean, you could box it up first. That would be the sensible thing.
And a to-go box.
Exactly. I'll take out.
Because the Keeler is, like, shocked by this whole thing and just sets his arm up on the table next to the pod. Like, he actually puts his hand in the way of danger, and it grabs Keeler. I have to say, Keeler does a way better job of selling how terrifying this is than the guy from the first episode. Because the first guy just sort of falls down, and he's like, ugh, I'm unconscious now. But, like, with Keeler, he's, like, going through, like, a full-on, like, freaking out. I don't know. It was, like, upsetting to watch. Like, he's shaking all over and green.
You can tell that, like, the transformation kind of hurts.
And yeah.
It's upsetting.
It's so slow and painful. And
yeah, the entire time that Chase and, who is it? Chase and Scorby are bringing him to the cabin? Like, you could just see he's just in pain.
It was Chase and his butler. Yeah, like, they're, like, dragging him along, too. Like, he's not... Ugh, he's doing a real good job with the acting. And, like, Chase is, like, so weirdly into it. He's just, like, staring at him like this is a Christmas gift that he just opened. He's like, this is beautiful. This is amazing. And, like, Keeler's like, I'm dying! Get me a doctor! And he's like, nah, we're not gonna do that. That's no fun.
We'll take care of you.
Man, Chase is so creepy. The Doctor gets away, hides Sarah Jane, and is like, I'm going to go back. And I think he's like, I'm going to go back and get the pod.
He's like, I should have brought the pod. Damn it, I forgot something.
She's worried, and he's like, it's okay, I've got this gun. She's like, you'd never use that. And he's like, they don't know that. But he goes back to the empty lab, sets the gun down, and then gets caught by Scorby, who takes him to another room where he shoves him into some garbage cans.
That is one of my favorite scenes. Because usually you see the Doctor sort of do that banter that he has been through doing the whole time in this story, and he's known for that. But we never really get to see the villains sort of react to it in this way. And Scorby's already been bested by the Doctor at this point 4 times. And it makes Scorby look pretty weak. So it's understandable that he's frustrated. And he takes it out on the Doctor by just continually tossing him down and brutalizing him. And I just, you don't see the Doctor do that. I mean, that happened to the Doctor very often. I just really thought that enhanced Scorby a lot.
You've, like, undercut his menace a lot throughout this serial, and this, like, reestablishes it.
Plus, it's always good to see a character you, like, get knocked around.
Yeah, well, and you'd think that Tom would be like, no, I'm not going to do that. That would hurt. But no, he's all for it. He's selling it big time.
So, we gotta talk about the...
The compost machine?
The compost machine, because it scares me. So, I'm terrified of this thing. I mean, it's totally, like, a ridiculous... You move so slowly towards, like, these rotating blades... It's everything that I would expect out of Chase, but it's terrifying. I think, like...
And also, it's like, again, it's heavily implied that the Doctor's not going to be the first person who's gone through this thing.
Yo, why is he so evil? What is he doing?
Why is this plant guy killing so many people?
He has to feed his plants. I mean, I think at one point he even says that, you know, that it's great for them. That's that it's organic and it... You know, it goes back to the earth.
Oh, he's so creepy.
He really is. And yeah, this machine is pretty, as far as Doctor Who mechanisms, it's on James Bond level of scary. So much so that I even worry about the actors when they're in there. I'm just like, how dangerous was this? I'm like, man, if I were Tom, I would be like, no, I'm not taking my scarf in there.
Right?
Oh, right. I didn't even think about that.
I'm, like, terrified thinking about it right now.
I will say, no one was harmed in the making of this serial, except for one guy, the guy who recorded the sound effects. He wanted to get some sounds of dogs for, like, I guess the scenes where, like, I don't know, they're in the yards and the dogs are released or whatever. He wanted to get some sounds of dogs. Somebody brought in, like, a trained dog, and he wasn't getting the sounds he wanted. So the sound guy brought out his dog to sort of, I don't know, interact with the other dog. And they just started fighting each other. And he tried to separate the dogs, and one dog bit his leg super hard, and he had to go to the hospital. So that was the only injury in the making of the Seeds of Doom. The sound guy got bit by his own dog. Maybe his dog or the other dog. I don't know, but that's it. Fun fact.
I'm shocked that it's not by the compost machine.
So I'm thinking originally that's where Scorby was going to take the Doctor and Mary, Sarah Jane. Was to the comp because apparently that is their chosen method of disposing of
all of the people that they murder.
Yeah,
so many of them.
It's a lot of plants to feed, man. I mean, you've seen the greenhouse in the garden. Not to mention all the house plants. I mean, there's tons.
It's just cheaper to feed them that way.
Yeah, I guess
because human lives are worthless. That is a theme of this episode too, of this serial, is that is people. Undervaluing people, really.
Well, I've never been more proud to be a meat eater than after when I'm watching this. Because, man, I mean, you know, the plants are just angry. You know, all the people, all the vegans out there just pissing off these plants. They have some hostility in them. It doesn't take much to have them turn on humanity.
So be careful. Keep off the grass.
Maybe you shouldn't order that salad.
They take Keeler to a small little, I guess, guest house or something. Put him in bed. And they're going to keep an eye on him.
They're going to keep feeding him steak. It's not a bad way to go, really.
Yeah. I mean, there's better ways.
Well, yeah, there's the compost machine. But, no, I mean, if you're, yeah, you're laying there and eating steak all day.
That would be a good, like, last meal.
Although, knowing Keeler, he's probably a vegetarian.
Though that steak he did bring him did look pretty raw. They'd be like, at least cook it a little.
It's English. They like it raw.
Ugh. Ugh. Don't like raw
steaks. Like things done medium.
I like well-done steaks, and everyone gross. Makes fun of me for it. They're like, you are wrong.
You mean, because you are.
By the way, I guess we forgot to say, but the doctor is put inside the compost machine.
Yes.
By,
and very, very slowly inching towards these terrifying rotating blades.
But Sarah Jane has been following Keeler, or been following Chase and Keeler and all that, and sees that they put him in this room. Chase has been called away because there's someone who showed up that's wants some money.
She wants her $2.
It is Ducat. She's come to collect the money for her painting. And she looks so pleased to be there.
This is another point where I'm like, that character's back? What are you doing, Sho? It's really good. You keep throwing me random curveballs, and it's fun to watch.
And she won't leave. Because, like, Chase is like, and just tell her to go away. I can't do that. She's very persistent. So they go to leave, which allows Sarah Jane to sneak into the bedroom with Keeler. And she talks to him a bit, and he's like, basically, like, let me loose and I will help you. And she's like, I can't do that. You could kill me. And then he just starts freaking out. Like, you're trying to kill me. You're trying to kill me. And he just has a full-blown panic attack. And the butler comes in to check, see what's going on, and Sarah Jane has to hide. But she almost gets caught because of that. But she does not help him. And he doesn't rat her out. I thought he might rat her out, but I'm glad he didn't. But Chase meets up with Ducat, writes her a check for, it's like £1,000, I think.
Yeah, I think it was like more than what he was originally supposed to have paid. He paid with interest.
Yeah, because he was supposed to pay it originally in guineas, I guess. And maybe that's why he didn't pay her, because he didn't have guineas.
Who does?
He just had pounds.
Scorby comes in to tell him about the doctor and whether or not he should, he's asking whether or not he should recycle him. Because he's about to just straight up say something, and he notices Ducat, and he's like trying to be all sneaky about it.
So
and calls
I need
it
to talk to you about that recycling
experiment. And she's like, that sounds very interesting. What is it? And he's like, we have a lot of experiments going on, and it's very hush-hush. You know how the plant world is. And basically gets her to leave, and Scorby's taking her out. My notes say, artist leaves, butler leaves, Sarah Jane leaves, doctor is going to be leaves.
Very nice.
So, yeah, Sarah Jane has left Keeler alone, and she's back in the building. She's hiding behind this, like, suit of armor when Scorby's escorting Ducat out, and he gets interrupted by another guard who's, like, trying to tell him about something, that bad evil that's going on. He has to be like, there's a person here. We're doing some training stuff. It's fine. And then
we're doing some totally normal things.
You know, plant stuff. You know how it is in the plant world. And then Scorby leaves with the to talk to the guard, and then Ducat sort of stumbles around and, like, Sarah Jane talks to her and, like, says, get the word out. This is everything that's going on. You know, get some backup, basically.
Yeah, at this point, we don't know that Ducat is working for Webb. She is an agent of Webb, top agent of Webb. So that's a surprise. And, yeah, despite the fact that, you know, she's kind of annoying and Chase has to pay her money, he must find her a little charming because he doesn't tell Scorby just escort her to the compost machine.
Oh, it's probably because she's
very famous.
Yeah, so famous.
Yeah, but his painting would be worth more.
That's true.
It's a good investment. Double the worth of the painting if she just turns to compost.
See, villains don't think things through.
I love that she gets out to the car and is talking to, like, the other Web people, and they're like, okay, thanks. Like, they're happy to have her help, but, like, they also don't want to listen to her talk. They're just like, that's nice. Thank you. Because she's like, later, she's like, anytime you guys need to send me on a mission, I'm so up for it. I would be great at missions. And they're like, okay, thanks. Please leave now.
But when she does tell him, the head of Webb is like, well, I think it's time to call in unit. And Dunbar is like, no, don't do that. I'm going to go fix this. It's my problem. I caused a lot of this mess, so I'm going to go in and talk to Chase and get everything fixed.
Yeah, I love that, because the guy's like, why would you be able to get in? And Dunbar's like, they know me. Dun, dun, dun. Like, he just told on himself. And now he's going to try to make it right. Good for Dunbar.
Helping everybody out. fix this problem, gets everybody their contract redone so they get paid more. He's a good guy.
He's the real hero of the serial.
And unfortunately, Webb just at this point in time in their history doesn't have the resources, so they have to call UNIT.
That'll change once.
That will change, yes.
Once Webb's they hire the artist.
Yeah, once Ducat
yes.
takes control.
Right, yeah.
she'll bring her vast painting fortune to the cause.
Exactly.
So Keeler's gone full on crinoid, breaks his bonds that are holding him, and gets out. Sarah Jane finds the compost room and sees the doctor slowly going towards it.
She does the thing that she has done now multiple times, where she goes to turn off like a terrifying death machine and then actually turns it up higher.
The other way!
But she stops it, gets him free. And my favorite thing is like, he's like, oh, thank God, Sarah, that you stopped it. That would have been such a waste!
That is an awesome line. But yes, it's nice to see the companion save the doctor.
Yeah, that needs to happen more, because it's always like Sarah Jane in trouble, and the doctor has to free her, but it didn't happen this time. It was good. So, Dunbar tries to talk some sense into Chase. Chase has no sense talked into him. Then the butler comes in and says that Keeler is free, and like, rampaging. So, Dunbar rushes out to go stop it. He's like, I'll go stop it. It's my responsibility now. He's full on mission guy now.
He's full on Agent of Web mode.
Yeah. And then Chase is like, don't do that, and says, like, yells at Scorby to chase Dunbar and stop him. So Dunbar is going after the crinoid and Scorby is going after Dunbar. The doctor and Sarah Jane are going to leave as well, the compost area, and the doctor grabs a sword from the wall as a weapon. Dunbar sees the crinoid, who is now just like he's way bigger as a plant now. He looks like a green version of, what's that one Muppet? The big Muppet.
Sweetums?
Sweetums, yeah. It's a big green Sweetums. And he shoots it. It doesn't work because that never works. And then he trips, falls down, and then I guess gets eaten. Dunbar gets eaten?
I think so, yeah.
Sure.
Why not? It just like sort of walks over him and then
he
screams. And the doctor rushes up with and pulls out the sword from its scabbard and ready to go. And that's the cliffhanger.
Yeah, at this point, it looks like a very large Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. Sid and Marty Croft.
Yes, that's a better reference.
There are also these creatures on Space 1999, an episode of that, that looked very similar to these, that were quite big. I can't remember if this was before that, though, I think.
Everybody's just ripping off Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, of course. It is groundbreaking.
And so that's the end of episode 4. We're now into episode 5, which I've called Photosynthesis. Because this is the episode with the photography session. So the guards and Scorby show up, start shooting at the plant, distracts a little bit. Everybody sort of runs away and gets into that guest house that Keeler was in. And Scorby's like really shocked that the doctor's up and about. And he's like, you should have been compost. And the doctor's like, we're all going to be compost. And then Chase calls into Scorby and is like, don't harm the thing. And like, they're like, it's killing people. And he's like, I don't care. Don't hurt the crinoid.
It's unique.
Yes, it's unique.
That's what he keeps saying. He's like, there are millions of people. This thing is special.
And the doctor tries to talk some sense into him, but he gets hung up on. The doctor is like furious at this point too. Every like conversation with him, he's just like, ah, stop being stupid, everybody. What's your problems? He's like, this thing is going to keep expanding until it takes over the world. It's getting bigger and bigger. And to prove that it's getting bigger and bigger, a giant vine like breaks in through the window. A giant tentacle.
They do a pretty decent shot of it. Like, they're like vine tentacles like smashing into the building and stuff,
and like knocks over Sarah Jane, and everybody's trying to fend it off, and the doctor slashes at it with his sword and it backs off a bit, and then it talks.
Yes, it does.
I think it's the only time it talks.
Yeah, there's other times where it would make sense for it to talk, but this is the only time I can remember that it talks.
And it basically says that they want the doctor. If everybody there gives him the doctor, they'll let everybody else go. And Scorby's like, that is a great deal. I am down for that.
He is, but he isn't. This is where we see Scorby's turn. because he's finally seeing that Chase is insane and that the doctor might be the only way out of here alive.
Yeah, because the doctor's like, that's all, this whole, like, this, the plant's lying. It's going to, you know, don't trust it. It's a evil plant. Don't be stupid. And it's at this point that the doctor asks for Scorby's help.
What I like about this episode is that it like, changes the dynamics a little bit. Mm-hmm. And at no point, really, does Scorby become like, oh, yeah, I like and trust that guy. It's right. More like, helping the doctor is the best way for him to not get dead. Mm-hmm. So as long as that's the case, he's gonna cooperate. And it gives you, like, an interesting new dynamic with characters you've been with for 5 episodes.
Yeah, especially since a little bit later we find out that he's a mercenary, not just Chase's dude. So it kind of makes sense that he just now is like, no, I'm not gonna, I have no allegiance to this guy.
Yeah, and especially when it's like, your own life is in danger now. But the doctor asks Scorby to make a bomb. Scorby's like, I can make a Molotov cocktail. Which apparently, what's her name, Mary Whitehouse, who was very, like, anti this show because it was bad for children, was like, and now the show has, like, taught children how to make Molotov cocktails. Like, it wasn't, like, detailed instructions.
There weren't VCRs then. They couldn't just keep watching and pause and write it down. And
it's also not like it's complicated.
Yeah.
But she complained about everything anyway.
There's actually way worse stuff in this serial.
Yes. The doctor snapped a guy's neck.
Exactly. Oh, man. Just seeing people's necks snapped in movies so often. Like, I went to a chiropractor one time, and they like, pop your neck for you, and it terrified me that I was gonna die. It's like, I've seen movies, I know what happens. But then my neck felt better, and I was like, okay. But it still scared me every time. But then, yeah, the head of Web does call into UNIT and tries to get their help, and is having some difficulty. But Ducat is, like, talking to him while he's on the phone. She's like, give the like, operation a code name. They love that. Oh, Operation Nuthouse. Call it that.
She's so great. I love her so much.
And doesn't she say she was a soldier at one point?
Yes.
She's got the chops.
It's totally believable that she could become the leader of Web at some point.
Absolutely.
And then she proceeds to insult civil servants, of which this guy is one. And then she's like, then you know what I'm talking about.
She insults him and then just leaves.
And then, okay, so this is where the title Photosynthesis comes from. The Chase is preparing to go take pictures of the giant evil plant monster. He's got his camera out.
But, like,
he's so excited.
Face he's making when he's talking about doing it is like, I don't know. He's about to go make a scrapbook or something. He's so weirdly, like, calm and also in awe. And you're like, it's smashing everything! Snap out of it, man!
It's a sexy photo shoot time.
Yeah. Scorby makes the Molotov cocktail, throws it at the crinoid, and that distracts a little bit. So the doctor runs out of the building. He's going to go get help, and he gets to the chauffeur's car and
takes off.
See ya. And I believe everybody else gets out of the building as well. And Scorby and Sarah Jane go to the Green Cathedral.
What happens to the guards?
I don't know. I guess they just leave.
I don't remember what happens to them at this point.
They don't have a name, so nobody cares. But Sarah Jane and Scorby try to find Chase, but they can't find him because he's out taking pictures. But they're going to start boarding up the building, the little mansion or whatever. Scorby sort of starts talking to Sarah Jane and doesn't really believe that the doctor is going to get help. And Sarah Jane sort of like rails into Scorby a bit and like gets onto him and says that he's just as bad as Chase and not thinking of people as important. He thinks everybody's selfish because he's selfish. It's a really good scene. There's a lot of scenes of like, I don't know, the companion or the doctor getting onto the bad guy. But like, I've never seen one where like the bad guy is for a second there is almost like, damn, you're right. And he doesn't full on say that, but you can tell like most villains sort of just like shrug it off, but like you can tell that's like affected him a bit. So I like that scene a lot. So, but yeah, then Chase starts taking pictures of the giant crinoid. It's just like, I just want to help. I want to help you. And it's so creepy because the next time, I'm going to skip forward a little bit, but the next time we see him, he's just like lying on the ground, just rambling, weird stuff. And that's another one of those shots that's, like, really, really pretty. Like, it's so well shot, and it's very creepy and poetic in a way.
You know, sometimes on those sexy photo shoots, you know, the photographer and the model just find themselves being intimate.
It's a post-coital scene. That's what it is.
Oh, no.
Tony, he fucked that plant. I've killed Tony.
I just don't know where to go from here.
All right, so unit arrives. It's nobody we know or care about.
Unfortunately, no. I guess everybody was busy. And everybody was in Geneva. Apparently they don't even have phones in Geneva.
We don't even get the Bigwit guy. What's his name?
I hate him, and I never want to see him again.
Colonel Faraday, not the Brigadier. We had another new sort of leader guy. I don't even remember his name.
Yeah, unit's like, eh, it's only Webb. They don't need our best guys. Who the intern will do.
It's just a bunch of plant stuff. Like, how bad could it be? Little did they know. Then the unit guy says that they won't do a raid on the thing because he has to, I don't know, get permission or whatever. And the doctor just yells waffle at him a lot.
That he does. He's really hungry at this point. It's been a while since he's eaten.
He needs some food.
He needs some waffles.
Specifically. And he's just like, listen, this is bad. It's not just one bad plant. It's going to make all the plants evil. And they just sort of like joking around about it. And he's like, this is not a laughing matter.
They don't understand yet how serious plant-based crime gets.
Nope. Not at all. And it's weird because this is the first time that this concept has been introduced in this story, and we're on episode 4.
5. We're on episode 5.
Oh, sorry. Yes, we're on episode 5. So it's like, wow, you couldn't have led up to this a little bit?
The doctor basically gets them more on his side and then calls Sarah Jane and fills her in on everything.
Well, they get that report, right, of all these instances of people dying from plant crime?
We've said plant crime more than anyone in the world ever has. So the doctor calls Sarah Jane, fills her in, but gets cut off because the plant knocks the phone line down and tries to break in. Then we've got our feminism scene happens. Well, the guards run away. The guards...
Oh, right, they're not dead. Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
And he's like, the Scorby calls them women. And Tony was like, oh, I'm a little surprised that Sarah Dane just didn't, like, call him out on that. But then she does, like, 3 seconds later.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I'm going to go take care of business. And he's like, what? What? We should not do that. And she's like, what were you saying about women? And then, like, storms out. Very angry. And then Scorby's like, Sarah Jane and Scorby bump into Chase, who is just like, I just got some very nice photographs.
That's exactly what his face is like.
He's gone.
He's full on gone. Just like casually strolling around and just walks away. And they're like, all right, he's lost it. He goes back to the sort of greenhouse area, the Green Cathedral, and is just like sitting like cross-legged on the floor. This is another scene that's just like beautifully shot. He's just surrounded by plants. And it's like a lot of wide shots.
Yeah.
Of just him way off in the distance, surrounded by all these plants, just sort of like talking about how these plants are going to take over the world. And
it'll be a better world, a more like peaceful world, and they deserve it. And humanity was a mistake, basically.
He's so good and so creepy. But Scorby and Chase come in and turn the music off. Thank God. They're trying to talk to Chase, but he's like not replying to them at all. He's just talking about whatever he's talking about. He's in a trance, basically. And he basically starts referring to himself as a plant.
Yeah, because he keeps saying we.
And they've realized that he's under the control of the crinoid. And then all the other plants in the greenhouse start attacking them. They all start moving and, like, grabbing them. But the doctor shows up with a unit guy, and they have bug spray, I guess. It's, like, very advanced, like, weed killer. And they start spraying the plants to get them away. Chase freaks out about this a bit and runs off. He's very unhappy. It kills the butler, but everybody else gets out. And then the doctor's like, we have to get all of the plants out of this building.
Which is great, because it's like, there's a big greenhouse there, but they just all grab like a couple of potted house plants and drag them outside.
Well, I mean, they do, they shut the door and they put a big thing in front of the greenhouse area, like a shelf or something. But yeah, then they're just taking out potted plants. Nobody even thinks about Chase. They're all outside. They don't like have one person inside like keeping a lookout or anything. They all take a plant outside, and Chase shuts the door and locks them out. And then the crinoid just like peeks over the building. It's like huge now. So huge.
I thought that was pretty effective too.
That's the cliffhanger. They can't get back inside. Oh, there's a hidden Easter egg on the DVD of this scene. It's a blooper of the, like, they're locked out, and like Scorby runs up to the door and is like, it's locked, and like he pushes the door and it opens. He's like, it's open. What are we gonna do? But yeah, that's the crinoid appears, and that is the end of episode 5. We're now into episode 6, which I've called Cut to the Chase, because his name's Chase.
Yeah.
And he gets cut.
So Unit shows up with his big
light beam gun?
Sure. That's what lasers were back then.
But they fire light beams at it a lot, and it doesn't really do much.
It turns around and starts going the other way.
Yeah, distracts him.
It saves the Doctor and his crew. I thought, well, is this enlarged crinoid coming after Unit now? Because they're all running away, but it seems like, no, they just said, nope, that's not working. I'm like, well, it did something.
Distracted a bit. Didn't kill it, but I think that they run around and find another entrance and get back into the building. While Chase is going around being sneaky inside the building, he like breaks the communication equipment and stuff like that. Like, they kind of keep forgetting that Chase is a thing. And that bites them in the ass, like, 5 times. Just going around doing stuff, trying to take care of the big crinoid, and keep forgetting that Chase is also there. Because, like, Chase knocks out... They're, like, all huddled up in this one room, basically. Just waiting to figure out what to do. There's, like, one Unit soldier in there with him. And he's, like, the one with the... they had the weed killer. And he's, like, getting boards to, like, board up rooms. And Chase hits him over the head with a wrench and takes him to the compost machine.
No!
I'm pretty sure he composts that Unit guy, right?
He does. Yep, he shreds him.
Fun. Also, Scorby starts to go, like, really stir crazy, talking about how he's always been self-reliant and a survivor, and he's just...
Just a whole bunch of bullshit.
He's freaking out. Basically, he just completely freaks out and runs outside. Like, I can't take it anymore, and runs outside and falls into a lake and gets eaten by some plants.
There's, like, tree branches that are, like, pushing him down so that he drowns.
Yeah.
It's awful.
The guy who played him didn't like doing that scene. He's like, they told me it was only going to be one time, and then they'd be done with it. So they did it, and then he got out, and they're like, we're going to have to do it again because the camera slid down the bank.
No!
And we didn't get any of it. He was very upset about that. I kind of wish, because Scorby started to have, like, I don't want to say I didn't want him to just wind up being a good guy at the end, but I kind of would have liked more of a redemption arc for him a little bit, because he seemed to be going that way, and then he just dies. I would have been okay with him dying in a way that was, like, because it's a whole thing about him being selfish and not thinking of other people, and it would have been nice if, like, he died saving Sarah Jane and the Doctor, something like that.
Nah, he was always going to be selfish.
People can change.
Some people.
Not Scorby.
Some people aren't interested.
It's kind of not a great death, but... and then, it seems sort of random that when the plants outside attack people when they don't. I mean, Unit doesn't seem to be fazed by them at all. Maybe it's because they're wearing green, so the plants are like, yeah, they're one of us. We don't know. It's sort of weird how Scorby runs out and instantly gets attacked, but not Unit.
So while this is going on, the Doctor has been working on the communications device, getting it fixed after Chase broke it. And they're like, where's that Unit guy? And Sarah Jane's like, I'll go find him. You finish fixing that thing. And then she gets caught by Chase. Then he proceeds to monologue at her about plants.
It is his thing.
Yeah, that's his shtick.
For a guy who likes plants, which are basically silent creatures, he sure does like the yammer.
Well, that one plant talked once.
That's true. Once.
They only talk when it's necessary. The Doctor gets the communications thing fixed, calls Unit, and basically tells them to blow it up, basically. Shoot it with some missiles. Which, that seems like a very Brigadier solution to things.
I mean, I think that's just the Unit mentality as a whole.
Well, it does seem kind of weird that at some points the Doctor doesn't seem to know how to handle the crinoid. And yet, we are led to believe that the explosion killed the one in Antarctica. So, it would make sense to blow it up. That's the only thing that works.
He just really doesn't want to have, like, a conversation with the brig later where he's like, so, blowing it up, that was the right call, huh?
Yeah, probably. Probably want to save face, like, yeah, no, in this case, sure.
And then the brigadier finds out about it and is like, wait a second, they blew something up without me?
Yeah, the one time the doctor wants to blow something up and I'm in Geneva.
This is some BS. But basically the plan is blow it up and like, but everybody's still inside. But he's like, you gotta do what you gotta do. But he's gonna try to get out. But Sarah Jane has been put into the compost machine. And the doctor storms in, knocks out Chase, stops the compost machine. And he jumps in and starts freeing Sarah Jane.
Why is she tied up?
I guess so she doesn't try to fight back, I guess. I don't know. Like, she could jump out of there.
But she was out cold.
She's too sneaky to take any chances.
Yeah. How many times has she pretended to be knocked out?
Good call.
Once an episode. But the doctor's getting her. But Chase presses the button. The machine starts up again. And then Sarah Jane gets out. But the doctor and Chase are fighting inside the machine. As it's like,
I hated it.
And like, the doctor gets out and is like trying to pull Chase out and yelling at Sarah Jane to press the button to stop it, but she's tied up so she can't reach it. And
he gets composted. But that's really probably what he would have wanted. He can be one with all his plant friends now.
It's the great circle of life.
Yeah.
But like, Sarah Jane and the doctor seem legitimately upset about this too. Like, Sarah Jane's almost crying. It's like,
I mean, they did just witness a person be, like, brutally shredded apart.
Yeah, smushed up and stuff.
I bet it would be upsetting.
The doctor's like, I tried to save him. And then she's just like, oh. I don't know. That, like, that affected me more than the actual, like, screaming and crunchy bits. Their reaction to it. But the plane, there's planes coming in. They're going to shoot it. The doctor breaks a, like, boiler pipe, I think, to steam the plant so they get away from the door.
Yes.
I don't think, have we seen that boiler thing at any point previously in the serial?
Nah, and we hadn't really established that, like, steam would be great. I mean, unless that's, like, a known thing and I'm just, which is possible. I've never put steam on plants before. I guess I have. I guess I cook vegetables all the time.
Yeah, they're cooking them. That's what they're doing.
All right.
I don't know, but the planes start shooting the missiles. They run through a bunch of leaves, branches hitting them in the face. The giant, which by the way, that's a great shot whenever we see the crinoid on the mansion. That's like a really good model and monster effect. Because sometimes it's just the building and they've like CSO'd in the monster, but sometimes it's like a model of the mansion with the creature on top of it. And that looks really cool. But it explodes, and then it's just on fire. You just see, like, burning plants. And then they go back to Webb. Sarah Jane makes a really terrible one-veg, no-meat joke. The head of Webb wants the doctor to do a speech, but the doctor cannot because he's booked for 2 centuries. No one knows if he's joking. I don't even know if the doctor knows if he's joking. But he's like, let's go on a vacation to, I forget where he said.
Some beach.
Aren't they going to Cassiopeia?
Yeah, Cassiopeia. And they TARDIS out and wind up back in Antarctica. Like, the Sarah Jane's in, like, a bathing suit with, like, a beach ball. Which I'm hoping that's, like, the same beach ball that Two had every time he wanted to go to the beach. But she's freezing and then, like, oh, you forgot to change the coordinates. But they never went there in the first place, as we previously mentioned. But then they're like, are we, what was it, what was the line?
Yes, have we already been here or have we yet to come?
And then they just start cracking up. They're so cute.
They are awesome.
And then, I believe, they went back into the TARDIS, and then the TARDIS fell down on them. Like, this is the last time we'll see that TARDIS exterior because the prop literally, like, fell apart on top of them.
Oh, no!
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
That's one of my favorite things, is you forget, like, you're so sold on the concept of the TARDIS. But you forget that, like, when any time an actor walks into the TARDIS, most of the time they're just walking into a box and then just hanging out there for a minute. And that amuses me a lot.
So I believe that was the original prop, too, and that's just from, like, the first Doctor, and it's the last time we'll see it.
Oh, no.
But that's it. That's the end of The Seeds of Doom. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for final thoughts.
All right.
ESO. 7 years of keeping it really geeky.
Hey! What are you trying to do? You ruined my record, man! I just bought it!
Hey, you guys!
How exciting! Spoilers!
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Bye bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye.
The Earth Station 1 podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstation1.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
And we're back!
Welcome back.
Tony, do you know what time it is?
It is roughly 1:16.
Do you know what time it is in the podcast?
I'd say we'd be filming for, like, been recording for a couple hours.
Yeah, but do you know what we do at this point in the podcast?
We go home.
No, we're already home.
We're done. We did it. We're at the end.
What do we do at the end of the podcast?
We hang up.
Before that.
I'm still here.
It's time for final thoughts.
She just doesn't want our time to end.
Final thoughts.
Awesome. Well, I love this story. It's really, I think, one of the ones that is, when I think back on the Fourth Doctor, especially the Philip Hinchcliffe years, this one stands out to me. It is long, but it's epic. I think it doesn't feel like, in episode 3, it kind of feels a little bit like they could have improved that a little bit more, but it moves from start to finish. There's not a lot of like times where you're like, ugh, this is just dragging. I think Tom and Elizabeth are amazing in this. They have great chemistry. There's no awkwardness. They're just firing on all cylinders. They're at the peak, I mean, of their relationship, I think, of their era. And great villain, Chase and Dunbar as your main bad guy with your number boss villain, you know, your henchman, your Goldfinger and Oddjob, so to speak. It really does feel James Bondish in that regard, but also it has so much Doctor Who in it because it's really outrageous and extraterrestrial and just fun.
I don't really have much more to add. Like, yeah, I agree with all of that. I think I've kind of said that, like, I'm always really excited about a serial when it's, like, every couple of episodes you're introducing something and I'm like, what? What are we doing now? Let's go. What's happening now? What is this next new thing? And still in, like, a, you know, very sort of cohesive way. Not where it's, like, introducing a whole bunch of new concepts and you're like, I can't follow this at all. But that there's always something sort of new to, like, hook you into the serial and to wonder where it's going. I think the monster is great. Yeah, I really, really like the Doctor and Sarah Jane, and I think their relationship has gotten so fun. I wish we wouldn't go back to UNIT without having any of the UNIT people, because every time we do, I'm like, I don't care about these people.
I think this is our last UNIT serial for a long time.
I think you're right.
There's a part of me that's kind of glad about that. Like, I don't want to be there and not with the characters that I care about. It just feels weird. I'd rather just not be there. Yeah, I think we're very clearly deep into the era of Doctor Who that's going to scare me a whole bunch. So, I'm enjoying it so far.
I love this serial a lot. I think it was a really smart idea to basically make it a two-parter and a four-parter, because the first two feel like his own little story, like a prologue almost, the Antarctica one, and then there's the four-parter at the mansion and everything, and I think that's a really smart way to make a six-parter not feel long. The Doctor and Sarah Jane are amazing. The secondary characters in this are a lot of fun, too, like Ducat and Scorby, and the villain is so good, so creepy and menacing and off-putting, and take something that could be kind of cheesy because, yeah, he's basically just a dude who likes plants and really sells it really well. I love the creature. I think the creature is a really good design as well. I think this season has been so solid. There has not been a bad serial this season. This is the strongest season since Three's first season, I'd say. It might even be a little bit better than Three's first season. I'm not sure.
I feel like that season's like a really, if you sit and you actually like think of all the stories that are in it, you're like, oh, that's an excellent story. That's an excellent story. That's an excellent story. But then like the overall impression of like, for some reason, I think a lot of times Three doesn't like stick.
Yeah.
As far as like character wise, you're like, I remember Zara kind of. I think it was fun. And like the writing in it is top notch. But sometimes the like the relationship character moment stuff, which I think is what kind of stands out to me, isn't always there. So yeah, I could see how you would say that this was a better season.
And this is the finale of season, quote unquote, season 13 or series 13.
Yeah, I feel like that's another thing is that they've really figured out season finales now. Because a lot of times, like a lot of the older stuff, like season finales weren't really like that big of a deal. It was just like, this is another serial. Like this one feels like a finale.
It's got big explosions.
But yeah, like, I don't know. This season is just, it's just been hit after hit after hit. Like the weakest one's probably the Android Invasion. That's still a lot of fun. But yeah, I am so sold on four. Like the first season of four was really good, but this like season really cemented it, I feel like. Yeah, that was the Seeds of Doom. Before we go, anything you want to plug?
Well, I mean, of course, you can find me on every week on the Earth Station One podcast, and I think we do it twice a month. We do the Earth Station Who podcast. Although when we get new episodes, we will crank those out to once weekly to go along with the new ones. But yeah, we're having a lot of fun over there. We're having a Summer of Song, so we're reviewing a lot of River Song episodes, and that's been a lot of fun getting ready for the new season of Doctor Who. You can always go to my personal website too and see the books and everything else that I publish, and that's at newlegendmike.com.
Do go check all that stuff out. If you like this episode, you can check out more on watchyourassalon.com, and be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It helps us out very much. It, I don't know, does some super secret iTunes magic.
It helps us get seen. The more reviews that we have, the more other people see our podcast.
Right, iTunes magic. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourassalon.com/support, and there you can find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day-early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, bonus episodes, which also go up on the ESO Patreon, so check that out, too. And we also do live streams on our Patreon. We watch the episodes, and you guys can watch with us. It's a lot of fun. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wishlist, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Steve Conway for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
You can follow him on Twitter, @SteveConway. And tune in next time when we talk about The Mask of Mandragora with new guest R. Allen Seiler.
Nice.
Yeah, he runs the Hulanta convention, so that'll be a lot of fun. So thanks for listening. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you.
Bye. Always my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
The plants must win. It will be a new world. Silent and beautiful.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network. Your station for all things geek.